Just title is Head Division of Medical Ethics at the NYU Grossman School of Medicine.
All right, I got that recorded. And why don't we start with sort of the 30,000-foot view, or maybe more than that, because we're going back more than 100 years to the 1918 pandemic. I know the globe had far fewer citizens back then, but what does that tell us about where we are now, that we are about to surpass that that terrible time in the early 1900s?
Well, it's incredible that we are about to surpass death rates relative to the 1918 pandemic. We know more. We're far more sophisticated scientifically. I believe we have the tools available to us to cut that death toll, that it should never have reached these proportions, and it's going to increase. In 1918, all they had was masks and prayer to really fight the disease, maybe some quarantine. We have drugs and vaccines and tests, and we just have not used them adequately. It is really on us as a society that one in 500 Americans has had to die now.
Would people in 1918, none of us was around back then, have been much more willing to abide by government guidance?
So I believe in 1918, the country was smaller, the country was a little less diverse, and it had a little bit more of a community-mindedness as a result. I absolutely believe there was more, let's pull together to look out for one another, to look out for our neighbors' attitude that prevailed. And while the federal government was much smaller, I think there was great respect for what public health and doctors might be able to do. Today, we find ourselves in a situation where the country has grown big, sprawling, and very diverse. There are those who would say some of that very diversity that we treasure has undermined our community-mindedness. So we aren't willing to extend our concern to our neighbor because our neighbor may be different. And the government is big and by many now seen as oppressive. And we also have many who say science threatens my worldview. If I have a religious worldview, science isn't compatible with it. And so they start to see science as an enemy.
What do we do about it?
First, I think we need to make it very, very clear that public health advice is going to be something that guides public policy, not politics. We need to insulate our science agencies, our public health agencies more from the politics, both under Trump and to some extent even Biden. There's been too much manipulation of messaging, too much interference, too much undercutting of the science itself. I think we need to get communication lines established between religious communities and the scientific communities. They ought not be adversarial. They should complement one another, and scientific and religious leaders need to commit to making that clear. I think we need better communicators on the science and medical front. Too much of the internet is full of misinformation, lying, conflict of interest to make money off of homebrew products. You've got to really get more scientists and doctors out there who can communicate, more scientists and doctors out there who can communicate clearly to the public, can engage misinformation, and the big companies that carry the misinformation must do more in the middle of a plague to censor and control it. Public fear is a huge problem when you're trying to fight a plague.
As I know you heard, Pfizer says that its vaccine is perfectly safe and would be very useful for children 5 to 11 years old. Do you think that will help us take a big bite out of the problem, at least among the younger set?
I do think that having vaccines approved for kids down to age 5 and maybe even below that by next year is going to be a big help in the U.S. I think we will see many parents bring their kids in. Many parents are used to getting their kids vaccinated to go to school. That's been a mandate for decades in every state, not so unusual as trying to get adults to do the right thing. I think people understand that schools are a place that communicate disease, and that if we don't get the schools open and running, it's hard to get the economy going because daycare, childcare become huge challenges for many, many families. Do I think all kids are going to get vaccinated? I don't. I think we're too political now, and there'll still be holdouts. But we can be tough on school-based mandates because we've been tough about school-based mandates for measles, mumps, rubella, and many, many other diseases in the past, COVID vaccine should, if you will, attach to those requirements.
You'll correct me if I'm wrong. From a scientific standpoint, maybe there's not much difference in vaccinating a four-year-old or a five-year-old, but when you get down to six-month-olds, that's a different category, right?
There are definitely big differences in vaccinating infants, vaccinating very young children, vaccinating then, let's say, adolescents, and sometimes even in vaccinating people over 65. Their immune systems respond differently. They don't need the same dose because they're bigger and smaller sized people. Older people may have more existing conditions, other diseases that complicate the effectiveness or even the safety of vaccines. So each group needs to be studied. Each group needs to be followed. Good news about vaccines is, in terms of long-term risk, I'm not familiar with any vaccine where the side effects have not been shown within 2 years. After that, the body begins to adjust, cope with whatever was in the vaccine, and there aren't long-term consequences. So people are thinking, I don't know, I don't want to really vaccinate my child or my infant. I'm not sure what's going to happen over 10, 20, 30, 40 years. I wouldn't worry about that with vaccines. That's not how they work.
There's so many different aspects to the story, including the Biden administration now saying we're going to reopen our doors to international travelers. You've got to be vaccinated, of course, but you can come in. From what you've read and seen, is that all right?
I think having vaccination requirements really cuts down on the risk the travelers pose. I think we should insist that no one gets on an airplane inside the United States without being vaccinated. It just makes no sense to say we're not going to insist on vaccination when you're going to be confined in a cylinder for 3, 4, 7 hours to get somewhere. And I am certain that other countries are going to say about us, if you're not vaccinated, don't come here. So for air travel, travel on cruise ships, travel even on trains, buses, I really would like to see vaccination requirements in place. I think in the battle against COVID, we have come up with many tools. Sometimes we get obsessed with one of them, say vaccination. But I really believe the battle will be won, at least to make living with COVID possible, if not to eliminate it, by pursuing all of our tools. We need more testing, testing in schools so that if a kid is positive, they go home, but you don't have to close the school. Testing in the homes. If someone's positive, they don't go to work. They don't show up at school. They don't go out to a recreational event. We need to use masks more. We need to use vaccines more. So I don't think we'll win just by vaccination focus alone. I think it's time to broaden the assault, use all the weapons we've got if we're going to defeat this thing.